It is good to see everyone and to renew some acquaintances. It's been a number of years since we've been here, and Bobby and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be with you this weekend. We're endeavoring within our study to have some kind of individually linked topics, if you will. The situation that our society is in, and we have a kind of a moral decline that's going on that everybody's familiar with. A lot of problems that are existing within our society that we didn't have 10 years ago. And so we're going to look at some matters, Lord willing, that deals, first of all, with the core of the problem, beginning with the matter of the fact that a lack of knowledge causes destruction. We're going to connect that with the matter of a generation of which we live in that does not know Jehovah, and why there are few that will enter into that gate, and then identify on the upside, if we will, the moral courage that is required for us as children of God to exercise in the world within in which we live, and then, Lord willing, Sunday evening to deal with the matter of God's ready service. The class for Sunday, the morning class, is going to deal with some steps to effective development of how we can develop our lives, what the Lord would have us to be, and in so doing that we can bring glory to His name. So as we direct our attention tonight to the matter of a lack of knowledge causes destruction, we begin our study with some history that dealt with the matter of the children of Israel as it was recorded by Hosea. Hosea was a contemporary with Isaiah, and so he dealt with Israel and Judah. We were dealing, if we know, with the writing of these two prophets that within the times of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king, and it was following that that the northern kingdom was taken into captivity. And so Hosea is going to deal with some of the reasons why they were taken into captivity. And so we're going to begin our reading within Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. For the prophet tells us, he said, "Hear the word of Jehovah, ye children of Israel, for Jehovah hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because," and he's going to list 10 items here of what of why the Lord had a controversy with them that identifies the moral characteristics that existed within the nation. He said that there's no truth, nor goodness, nor knowledge of God in the land. There is naught but swearing and breaking faith and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and the birds of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Now he's going to identify in verse 4 the characteristics of the people. When he said that yet, when all of those events exist, that yet let no man strive, neither let any man reprove. Now that's their attitude in regard to that of being reproved, that it is identified that but yet that they say that, that no man strive or that no one reprove. That strive with the priest. The priest, as we know, when we deal with the matter of Jehoshaphat especially, Jehoshaphat was a very good king. And one of the events of which Jehoshaphat attempted to identify within Judah was to send teaching priests. That was their responsibility of where they were to go about and teach. We have Ezra, as we know, in Ezra 7:10, of where he was a ready scribe. He was of the lineage of Aaron. His responsibility was to teach, and so he was a skillful scribe, and he had set his heart to seek to do and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. That's what he did. That's what his job was. And so when these priests, here were the people of Israel that were striving with their teachers. They were striving with the priest, and so they had no regard for the will of God. And we're going to note that in the latter part of chapter 4 of Hosea. But he said concerning these people that thou, verse 5, Thou shalt stumble in the day, and the prophet also shall stumble with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I also will forget thy children. And so we're brought into their mindset, we're brought into their culture with what was transpiring within the nation, and God's denouncing of them through Hosea, and in regard to it, identifies the reason for their destruction is due to a lack of knowledge. And the Lord identifies the importance of having knowledge. We know that the lack of one of bodily exercise, we can see these matters in the physical realm. You consider that when the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he identified that bodily exercise is profitable for little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Here's a matter of bodily exercise. We understand that it was within Luke chapter 16 and verse 3 that dealt in regards to the matter of the unjust steward. He's brought into an accountability for how he had dealt with his master's goods, and he's going to lose his position in regard to that. And so as he looks at his life of leisure, which is actually what he had, that he considers his condition of what's going to transpire. And so he said that the steward said within himself, what shall I do, seeing that my Lord taketh away the stewardship from me? I have not strength to dig, to beg, I am ashamed. We understand that even with Adam and Eve, that they were placed in the garden to dress it and to keep it. God has never intended for man to be idle. And he expects for us to recognize this body that we have been given and that we are to exercise it so that we can be active within the kingdom. We have a responsibility to do that. And we know that without exercise, that when that happens, without bodily exercise, there is no strength, and we can't go about doing what the Lord would have us to do. We also understand that knowledge, that there is a necessity and a need that we have for knowledge. In the writing of Proverbs, we find where Solomon had identified that in verse 6, for Jehovah giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And so when we turn to the will of God, we have his knowledge, we have the understanding. Try to encourage, especially the young, that in regards to your life, if you want to know why people do what they do, you need to become very familiar with the book of Proverbs. People will tell you why they take certain actions and why they may do something, but it very rarely is it really the reason. Proverbs will tell you why men do what they do. And so that knowledge that the Lord gives to us, that we understand that without knowledge there is no wisdom. The writing also of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, where he said, by pride cometh only contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. And so to be well advised, that we need the knowledge of God, and that if for the lack of the knowledge, there is no wisdom, and we need to obtain that wisdom. We also find that within the matter of life, that with the lack of self-control, there is only excess. The Apostle Paul identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 concerning his life of what he did. He did all things for the gospel's sake, that he might be a partaker thereof, is what he identified in verse 23. And in regard to that, he said that, verse 24, know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run that ye may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. That the Apostle Paul exercised this matter of self-control. And we see that within society. We see that with those that are involved in various sports or whatever the case may be, of where they must exercise self-control to keep their body like it should be, that they would have the strength that they need. And if we don't have the self-control, it's just simply going to lead to a matter of excess within our life. It was one of the characteristics that the Apostle Peter identified in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he deals with the matter of the characteristics of life that need to be developed, and that they need to be developed, as he said, diligently, that you do this with diligence, that in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience. And so we see the need that with the lack of self-control, that is simply going to lead to excess, because what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life, that those matters as far as this life are concerned, that they're never satisfied. They're always wants more. No matter what we see, we want more. And so that has to be brought into to an account within our lives, that we could be what the Lord would have us to be. Having said that, we understand that the matter, that life is work, and that we all have a responsibility in life in several areas. The Lord himself in Luke 2:52, of where he grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. He intellectually, he did so, that he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He had the physical aspects. He grew in favor with God, the spiritual, in favor with man, of the social. And so we have areas in our life that we need to be exercising the responsibility the Lord would have us to fulfill. So when we look at what the Apostle Paul dealt with within the writing of the Thessalonian letter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, he made this statement in regard to those that were in Thessalonica that were not working. And concerning them, he said that if any will not work, neither let him eat. And so the Lord identifies the responsibilities that are there. Well, when we put that in the spiritual realm, we know from the writing of the Philippian letter, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, of where Paul identified, "So then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And so we have a responsibility to take charge of what the Lord has provided, to work out our salvation, not according to self-righteousness of what we determine within ourselves, but according to the will of God. And so when we find these characteristics of the work that's involved, and we look within the writing of Revelation, in Revelation 2 and verse 7, we find that within these figures of what the angel of the Lord said, he said in verse 7, "To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." This matter, if you will provide me with a little leniency here, that here's something of where if we're going to eat of the tree that is in the paradise of God, we're going to have to overcome. It's going to require that we work. And if we don't work, we don't eat. And if we put what we know in the physical and put it in the spiritual, we see the responsibilities that we have. Well, we find that as a result of not fulfilling the responsibilities that we have, that without the exercise of the knowledge that we receive, if we do not exercise it properly, then our senses will become dull. In the writing of the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 2, the writer indicated in Hebrews chapter 5, when he indicated in chapter 5 that in verse 13, For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Not simply a matter of knowing what is right or wrong. We need to be able to discern why something is good or why something is evil. And we will not be able to do that until we exercise the word of what we learn, until we put it into play, if you will, that we utilize what we know, and our senses will thereby be exercised, that we will be able to know and discern what is good and what is evil. You've heard individuals talk about the white and the gray and the black, and a lot of things fall into their gray area. If they fall into a gray area because they have not exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Not just right and wrong. People can know what's right and wrong, but to be able to discern it. And in order to do so, we will need to be working in what the Lord would have us to do. Well, in the writing of Acts, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, when the Apostle Paul in the city of Athens had spoken first to the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers, he ended up at the Areopagus, and he's given an account. And we find in verse 27, he said that concerning man, of what God has provided, he has determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek God, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And so we have that responsibility of seeking. And if we don't seek, we won't find. And so in regards to what the Lord would have us to do, we understand that we have a responsibility to work. In the writing of the 1 Corinthians letter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Once again, the Apostle Paul stated when he had identified 1 Corinthians, was in Acts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, where the Apostle Paul identified that awake to soberness righteously and sin not, for some have no knowledge of God. And I speak this to move you to shame. And we're looking in regards to the fact of what Hosea had identified with Israel, of where they lacked knowledge and it ended up being to their destruction. We find that the psalmist had identified in the 119th Psalm and verse 10 that this is the process of the will of God, of the knowledge that needs to be attained so that we do not sin against Jehovah. For he said that with my whole heart. Now he started in verse 9 that said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? How will a young man cleanse his ways? Young man, old man, whatever the case is, there is a cleansing that we ought to be involved in. So how is that accomplished? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do we keep from sinning against our Creator? We lay up his word in our heart and we utilize that knowledge of what we have to fulfill our responsibility, bring glory to our God, and it's going to require work in order to do that. And therefore, we have a need for knowledge. Back in the writing of Hosea, in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, that is what we read in regards to these the condition of Israel and what they were doing as opposed to what they needed to be doing. But in verse 6, when he said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. So we see the purpose or how it came about. So they lack the knowledge, and as a result of it, it's going to result within the destruction of the land of Israel and the people thereof, and they'll go into captivity. So we understand, as we noted in Philippians 2:12, that we have a responsibility to work out our own salvation. So this need for knowledge, as we understand that the want of knowledge knowledge and spiritual exercise, if we fail to do that, we too will be in the condition of losing our warfare. As the Apostle Paul had identified within the Ephesian letter concerning the warfare that he was involved in and that we are also to be involved in, it is a warfare that is not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, and in regard to it, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. And he gives the tools, if you will, of how we're going to be able to overcome the fiery darts of the evil one. And if we're going to stand in the evil day, we must stand today. And we do that through the will of God. And so the Lord has been very specific in regards to what he would have us to know and what he would have us to do. So when we consider, and we're just going to ask some questions, we're not going to go to all of these passages, but you understand the principles. We lay a foundation in regards to the things that we believe as a result of what the Lord has identified. Luke 16:26. If you believe that there is a place called Hades, of where this great gulf exists between that of the wicked and the righteous. And if you believe that there is a place that is called heaven, Colossians 3:1, that identifies in regards to the Lord as sitting at the right hand of God, if you believe that there is a place that we are to take our focus and not focus upon the world, but focus upon that which is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, if you believe that there is a place called heaven, and you believe that there is a place, Mark 9:48, that is described as a place of where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, the terminology that the Lord utilizes. If you believe that to be the case, then being aware of God's expectations and our obedience to His will is paramount. If we believe those things as the Lord has revealed, then we best be given attention to what God would have us to do. And the Lord had a controversy with Israel because they were not doing so. In Hosea chapter 8, beginning in verse 8, he identifies the characteristics of the end result of Israel when he said that Israel is swallowed up. Now are they among the nations as a vessel wherein none delighteth. One of the problems that Israel had was they tried to make these connections with these other nations, Assyria specifically, and in this text it would have been Shalmaneser, of what they did and when they went to him for their protection. And he said in verse 9, for they are gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey, alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they hire among the nations, now will I gather them. And they began to be diminished by reason of the burden of the king of princes, because Ephraim hath multiplied altars for sinning. Altars have been unto him for sinning. They erected these for their idolatry. They erected these altars of which they offered their sacrifices upon. And not only so, he identified that in verse 12, I wrote for them the 10,000 things of my law, but they are counted as a strange thing. As for my sacrifices of mine offerings, they sacrifice flesh and eat it. But Jehovah accepteth them not. They were not, when they offered up the sacrifices, doing it for themselves. They were not given to Jehovah that which belonged to him, and therefore he did not accept it. And they were, he said, now he will remember their iniquity and visit their sins, and they shall return to Egypt. And that's exactly what Deuteronomy 28 had identified would happen to them when they went into apostasy. For Israel has forgotten their Maker. and builded palaces, and Judah hath multiplied fortified cities, but I will send a fire upon his city, and it shall devour the castles thereof. So here's this matter of what happened to Israel historically. Their fact that without the knowledge of God, because they did not have a respect for, as the Lord said, the 10,000 things of my law, but are counted as a strange thing, it was because of that that they were destroyed. So this lack of knowledge, Hosea 6 in verse 6, of which he identifies that, "For I desire goodness and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." So God intends for man to have this knowledge. And as he had given them the means by which they could obtain that in verse 12 of the 10,000s of laws that he gave unto them, they had the ability to obtain it, but they counted it as a strange thing. They did not want to have anything to do with it. And therefore, in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 3, Israel has cast off that which is good. The enemy shall pursue him. And not only with him, but also as we find in verse 5 of chapter 5, "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in their iniquity." Not only them, but Judah also shall stumble with them. All of this was a result of the fact that they lacked the knowledge of God. And so we find that a lack of the knowledge of God will always lead into captivity. In the writing of the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13, that with both of these, with that of Hosea and also that of Isaiah being contemporaries, that in chapter 5 and verse 13, he said that my people are gone into captivity for lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes are parched with thirst. And so this matter, which is similar to what happened with the Sadducees that the Lord dealt with, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in angels or spirits, and they had a problem and used the marriage relationship in regards to that a man takes a wife, he dies, and her brother or his brother takes her to wife, and she has seven husbands, and in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? That was a problem for the Sadducees, and the Lord said concerning it that you do err not knowing the Scriptures. And he identified that God is the God of living. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when the Scriptures said that, they were dead. They had left this world. But he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so this matter of a lack of knowledge, it will always lead into captivity. And such being the case, we find that the Lord expects for his people to have knowledge. In the writing of the Ephesian letter, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, of where Paul had encouraged the brethren to look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as wise, but as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so this matter that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil, wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's where that knowledge must come into play. What is it that the Lord has done for us, first and foremost, the provisions that he's made through his Son, that we might have the hope of eternal life. And that hope is only revealed within the New Testament, within the Scriptures. And we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And therefore, in regard to it, in the writing of the Philippian letter, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, of where Paul identified, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So that knowledge and discernment, that we might be able to discern between good and evil and know that. And He wants it to abound. He wants us to continue to abound within that knowledge that has been delivered. And therefore, when He spoke about the brethren, or to the brethren in Colossae, He said, here's what He desired for them. Verse 9. Paul said, "And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make request for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So throughout the Scriptures, whether it be that of Israel or Judah or brethren today, the Lord expects us to obtain this knowledge. Now, so what He told those of Colossae, He said that you be filled with the knowledge. He said, "I want you to know it. I want you to know what the Lord would have you to do." He identified that they would have the understanding, the spiritual or the divine precepts, that you have this spiritual wisdom of those divine precepts, and that you have an understanding, and then in verse 10, that you apply it. So you get it, you understand it, you apply it, and in so doing, that you will not find yourself in the condition, or the church will not find itself in the condition that Israel and Judah found themselves in, because they lacked the knowledge of God. They hated the knowledge of God and would not apply it. And therefore we find in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 of where Peter says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Are we growing? Do we recognize the responsibility to make sure that we are growing? Paul told Timothy in regards to the matter of let no man despise you. Well, how are you going to do it? You're going to do it by your life. And there should be a progress within life. Where do I want to be next year at this time in my knowledge of the will of God? Where do I want to be in 5 years or 10 years, of Lord willing, that we have the opportunity to be on the earth? Are we working to that point of obtaining the knowledge of God, that we not be brought into captivity? In the writing of 2 Timothy, and here's an interesting event of what the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy concerning those that are in captivity. He will identify that as the point. Chapter 2 and verse 24. "And the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God may give them repentance unto the knowledge of truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him unto his will." This matter of the captive, that he takes us captive through the transgressions that we commit, and so that we might be delivered. Paul told the Lord's servant that in regards to how he dealt with those individuals, that they may recover themselves. How are they going to do it? They're going to do it when they come to a knowledge of the truth. And so when we consider of what was transpiring with that of Israel, they were destroyed because they hated knowledge. They didn't have the knowledge of the Lord. And this knowledge is one that they lacked, is a willful decision. We know from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 that he identified that they hated knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. They rejected it. And as it was the case with Judah in the writing of Jeremiah dealing with the captivity of Judah, and he stated concerning them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10, when he said to whom shall I speak and testify that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of Jehovah is become unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. You recall that within the Beatitudes, the Lord identified that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness, Romans 10, is a standard. It's God's standard. If we reject God's standard, the only standard that's left is our own, and that's a self-righteous standard. And so we find that if we're going to have this standard, it must be God's standard. And Judah, that they despised the word of the Lord, they had no delight in it. Could it be said that we have a delight in the word of God? Habakkuk dealt with that, of where Israel was saying, or Judah was saying, that what does the Lord, what's the burden of the Lord today? What is it that I have to do today in order to serve the Lord? And the Lord told them that you don't say what is the burden of the Lord, but what has Jehovah said? And he said, the man that says the burden of the Lord, I will hold him accountable for that type of an attitude. They did not have a delight in the law of God, and therefore they did not obtain the knowledge. And therefore we find that the 10,000 things of the law God gave unto Israel, that they counted the law as a strange thing. And so we find that even today people do the same. In the writing of 2 Peter, this matter of mockers that would come up, we have a lot of mockers within our society. It's not limited to, nor just simply true to our society, but these mockers, and he said, Peter said, when he wrote this epistle, to both, verse 1, of them, to stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that ye should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lust, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. By which means? By the word of God. By that same means that created it, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are, and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The same word that created it, the same word that destroyed it with water, the same word has a plan in place that in the time of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men, that the same word that created it and destroyed it will bring mankind into judgment in regard to it. And people, it is a willful thing to forget that. And that's what Peter identifies. So the lack of knowledge leads also to indifference. You think about what happened when Moses went to Pharaoh and had told Pharaoh to let the people go. Pharaoh said, who is Jehovah that I should obey him? Who is he that I should obey him? And the Lord had 10 plagues put upon that nation to show them who Jehovah was. But through his pride and his arrogance, he would not accept it. We have another king in the writing of 2 Chronicles, Uzziah, who was a great king when he first began his work, that over a period of years, he eventually became strong in his own mind, if you will, in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up, so that he did corruptly, and he trespassed against Jehovah his God. For he went into the temple of Jehovah to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Here is the king of Judah, and he is going to go in and burn this incense. The priest, therefore, Azariah the priest, went in after him, and with him there were 80 priests. These were valiant men. that went in and to stop the king from doing what he was going to do. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Jehovah, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from Jehovah God." Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy brake forth in his forehead before the priest in the house of Jehovah beside the altar of incense, and that he was a leper the rest of his life. He had a disregard and an indifference toward the law of God. And as a result of it, it emboldened him, if you will, to do those things that did not pertain to him. Oftentimes we find, whether it's individuals or churches or whatever the case may be, collective, that do things that it's not their job to do. It doesn't belong there. It hasn't been authorized by God to be participated in or to practice. But we have the boldness, just like Uzziah did, to think that we have rights before God that we have not been granted. When we think about what happens when we have a lack of knowledge, and if we're not operating by the knowledge of God, then we're operating by our own knowledge. And we become as Paul's brethren did, of where they rejected the righteousness of God and established a righteousness of their own. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you have fallen into the same path as Israel and cast off that which is good, that's what they did. We know what it is, and we come to a point in our life, or whatever the case is, whether it's individually or collectively, there's been many within the collective, they've cast off that which is good, to follow after the lure of the world and trying to appease everybody that comes around the corner of trying to figure out how to keep the young. You know, how are we going to keep them? And we're going to do it. We're going to provide their entertainment. We're going to feed them so that they have all the food that they want. We have within, and Jones, we're not too far from OCC. I don't know if that's what they call it now, the Christian College up there. And I had one of the men that says, "How do we compete Wednesday night? They have a big feed. They feed them meat and chicken and all." He said, "How do we compete with that?" And well, we don't. But there's been so many that have cast off that which God would have them to do, to pursue their own thoughts and processes. I'm going to pass this along because it's relevant in just about any generation. There was a report that dealt with certain groups that were losing 19 out of 20 of their young people. Losing 19 out of 20 to the streets of their young people. And we look at our society, and then it's pretty much that's what we see in a lot of cases. And that was in 1895 that took place. It's a constant battle. We have to have the knowledge of God, and we must pass that knowledge of God on to ourselves, to our children, to those that we come into contact with a proper attitude toward it, to not despise it. But if you have fallen into the same path as Israel fell into and cast off that which is good, Jesus came to save. Luke 19 and verse 10. He came that he might provide us with a means to be reconciled to our Creator. And Jesus is the only one that's provided that, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And therefore, in regards to it, he would have us to come out from among them. The writer of the Corinthian letter, when Paul identifies the relationship that the brethren are to sustain with the Lord. I've sent the reports from time to time, and in it I've referred to the ecumenical attitude that exists within the little town of where we're living. It just will just flabbergast you as to what's going on. You have all the different denominations, and there's no difference in them. There's no difference in them. They have a yearly gathering together, and the Baptist fellow that one time, that he will invite the Methodist fellow to come in, and he preaches that year. The next year, one of the other groups will host it, and they'll get the other one to come in and to preach. And it's just one big happy family. There's no difference as far as their doctrine. They differ on doctrine, but it doesn't matter. And that's what I've asked. Does it matter when you get to the end of the hunt? And they said, well, no, all that's just fluff. As long as you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the rest of it's just fluff. It doesn't matter. That's what they say in reference to it. They said, the problem that you have is you don't want to be a part of us. We find within the Corinthian letter, the Lord said, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He does not intend for us to be like the rest of the world. And that's going to require that we take the appropriate steps to make sure we obtain the knowledge of God, that we're able to discern between good and evil, and not count, if you will, the 10,000s of the laws of God as a strange thing. We're familiar with them. We know what the Lord would have us to do. And by doing so, we, as opposed to Israel and Judah, can bring glory to our God. If you are here tonight and you have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is not a step that you have taken in your life, understand these principles. Have the knowledge of the Word of God. Have that knowledge. Respect that knowledge. That the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. God has revealed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, for therein is revealed. Well, what God has identified within the writings, whether it's the Apostle Paul, whether it's the Lord, whether it's the other apostles, that God has revealed that He is going to bring His wrath upon the ungodly. Now, that's not an anger wrath like we have. This is a judicial wrath. He will give a just recompense, if you will. And if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that what the Apostle Paul wants you to know is that the wrath of God is going to come upon the world of the ungodly, and Jesus is the one that will protect you. He's the one that when these ungodly men, from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, as we already read, that it is, in reference to it, that it is Jesus that will deliver. One of the things that I found interesting with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, which talked about the brethren in regards to them of where they had turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God. They did something. That with that knowledge, they turned from those idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son. We don't like to wait for anything. I encourage you to go through the Scripture. See how many times the Lord told Judah and Israel to wait. You wait. Well, that's what we do. In our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, turning from the idols, we find that in Ezekiel, identified in Ezekiel chapter 14, the idol of the heart, that's where they start. We turn away from those to serve a living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivereth us from the wrath to come. We have been told that that wrath is going to come, and if you have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that there will be a wrath, there will be a day, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 identifies it, of where we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that are done in the body, whether they are good or whether they are evil. We're going to give an account for that. And we find that in regard to that, that it's going to require that we answer or that we respond
to the Lord's invitation. The Lord had identified that, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Sometime, somewhere, if you're of an age of accountability, you have violated your own conscience. And in that, those innate laws that God has established, we knew we shouldn't do it, but we did it. Individuals say, well, if they don't obey the gospel, they're going to be lost. We're lost already. The gospel is what saves. And if you have not responded to that, we're going to encourage you to answer that call that the Lord gave, and that you'll come to Him. A lack of knowledge is destructive. If you do not have that knowledge, get that knowledge. If you stand in need of obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, the elders would be more than happy to assist you in further instruction in regards to the way of righteousness, that you can enjoy that which Christ has provided through His blood. And if that's your desire, we invite you to let them know as together we stand and as we sing.